From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show. This looks like a job for me,
so everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy. I call the American Democrats by their rightful name a mafia. It's not a flippant accusation. It's something, it's a conclusion that you have to come to if you know Democrat areas, if you witness them with your own eyes. The Democrat Party doesn't represent honest, good people. They represent criminals. The Democrat prosecutors around the nation do not represent the good people of their areas. They represent the criminals. That's who gets a free rein. It's an atrocity what's happening to the city of Chicago. It's an atrocity what's happening to New York, to New Jersey, California. Pick a Democrat stronghold. They all have the same problem. Criminals rule the streets. It's that simple. So when I saw this article written by a friend of the show, this isn't somebody who agrees with me on everything, not by a long shot, but this is somebody who understands how to recognize reality. It is the mass incarceration is a weaponized policy, and they're wrong. So Matt Rosenberg wrote mass incarceration, a weaponized myth. When I heard that, that is the Democrat philosophy. Weaponized myths. It really accounts for virtually every policy they have. I wanted to bring them on to discuss specifically the collapsing quality of life in the once great city of Chicago, now referred to as the sewer Chicago. Matt Rosenberg, how are you?
I'm good, Sean. Good to be with you.
Now, obviously, I when you wrote the book, What's Next, Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son, I knew who your dad was, but it was more important, I knew who you were. Because you obviously recognize the failure, sold as policy. And this whole idea that I have to watch every weekend, it become normalized for tens, if not 20s, if not 30s of people to get shot. And the offenders of are often guys who were arrested 72 hours ago. Ankle bracelets, the whole rest of it. Mm-hmm. And they've operated under this, we're compassionate. Well, how are you compassionate by creating more victims, by turning loose criminals? This is what you've come to find out, is it not?
Well, we looked at the data, which is what we like to do at Wire Points, where I'm thrilled to have recently joined as the senior editor. And we found that in Illinois and the nation, we're looking at less than 1% of the population is actually incarcerated. We stuck with the year 2019 for our most recent year. We tracked it from 2013 on. In Illinois, 0.56%, less than 0.6% of the population was incarcerated across all levels in 2019. Nationally, it was 0.82%. So, you know, that's a long way from mass. And if you add in what's called the community supervision population, meaning guys who are on probation or parole, it gets a little bigger, not much. You know, that adds 1.25% in Illinois and 1.75% nationally. So, you know, we're still nowhere near mass incarceration. And what happens is progressives have appropriated the language, Sean. And I think you and your listeners are well aware of that. So the term mass incarceration is thrown around. We're all supposed to sort of cower in shame, but it's not happening.
You know what bothers me so much, Matt? I've had friends of mine who, and I don't want to go into race, but they're not Caucasoids, who are living in fear because you've managed to racialize criminals. It doesn't matter what race somebody is when they stick a gun in your face and tear you out of your vehicle or rob your wife or break windows or whatever the case is. It never mattered to me what race they were. They were scum criminals who needed to be removed from society. It's a simple way to live. I was lucky enough to be old. I'm lucky to be old, born in the 60s. My neighborhood, all Democrats. My grandfather was an outlier. that he voted Republican. All Democrats. And it was a safe neighborhood. You know why? Because those Democrats removed the scum that harmed the kids, that robbed the houses. Now, sometimes they happened to be law enforcement, but other times they were neighborhood guys. It was a very safe place to grow up. You couldn't buy a drug. And if somebody robbed somebody, within hours, the stuff was returned and somebody was found at O'Hare Airport. It was a beautiful way to grow up. Yet here we are in the very sophisticated year 2022, when you're afraid to go to the damn corner, regardless of what race you are, because we've now given a pass to criminals if they happen to be of a favored race. Is that fair to say?
We need to judge people based on their actions, not their skin color. Everyone has a fair shot and a fair shake at making a good life as a law-abiding, productive member of society. We also looked, Sean, at incarceration rates by race in Illinois, because, you know, we know that's a big talking point. We found that for Asians, a remarkable 0.04% of the population was incarcerated versus 0.5% of Latinos, 2% of blacks, and 0.25% of whites. So what you're going to hear from progressives is, of course, that the black incarceration rate is many multiples higher than the others, and therefore there are disparities. But this whole idea needs to be challenged. Because, you know, there are not quotas in outcomes, right? And we have to really look at the individual and the decisions that people make. And there are consequences for untoward actions. And so that is why, you know, incarceration rates in Illinois and the nation will differ by race. And I think you're totally right. People in the neighborhood, whatever their skin color, they don't want to be mugged, carjacked, or made the victim of an armed robbery. You know, they want more police, as I've said before to you and others, on the South Side in black neighborhoods. They also want better police. It's about that simple.
And the other problem you have is that they've virtually legalized various forms of criminal activity to where police have been neutered. Good cops, afraid to get out of the car, rightfully so. I have a nephew. I tell him every time I talk to him, don't get out of the damn car. Don't get out of the car. It's not worth it. Because after all, you're going to arrest a scum and they're going to turn around and be back out on the street in hours. And so much so, Matt, why aren't people talking about the legalized drug sales industry, billion-dollar industry, that have destroyed so many neighborhoods, that goes protected by politicians and by Democrat prosecutors? After all, the fentanyl, heroin, drug-dealing scum trade of Chicago has never been stronger. And tonight it'll be legalized again. And we'll pretend that somehow putting these criminals away is racist. Aren't there enough people of all colors leaving Chicago to maybe wake some politicians up?
You know, it really depends on our conception as a nation and as communities in the city of Chicago of being neighborly, right? If you're a good neighbor, you're not going to mug your neighbor, right?
I think
you're not going to sell them fentanyl or heroin, right? And you're actually going to try and earn a living legally. Maybe you're going to enroll in a construction industry training program or learn to become an electrician or a carpenter or a pipe fitter or a plumber. Maybe you're a young black man or woman and you're going to learn how to code or you're going to learn how to operate a drone. There are so many great jobs out there right now and training programs, whether it's, you know, the drone operator program at that university down in Romeoville, or stuff at Olive Harvey College in the city of Chicago. There are just so many opportunities out there if people would just orient to them. I was down at 63rd and MLK when I was researching my book, and I saw the damage that hard drugs do. You see people wandering around with a thousand-yard gaze, and man, it's scary. And those people, it's their neighbors. selling them those drugs. So, yeah, we've got a problem, not with mass incarceration, with crimes that go unpunished, with judges who don't dispense criminal justice, and with rising violent crime in our big cities. So let's at least get our language straight. There is no such thing as mass incarceration. Now, we can talk about it, you know, by race and by neighborhood. It's higher than 0.5% in many black neighborhoods. Let's admit that. But it comes back to choices in the end.
I agree with that. And I also think, to a certain extent, government has a very specific job. And that job is to protect the law-abiding. I saw Tom Tunney, alderman of the 44th Ward, all on TV this morning as I was waiting to go to the airport, that he was telling restaurants to protect their workers as a worker of two jobs was shot in an alley the night before. This is the same guy that went out and fined restaurants for allowing indoor dining during COVID. I mean, the Chicago politician is a joke, is a mafia member, is a shakedown artist, and cannot produce the one obligation of government, to protect the law-abiding. In fact, they work tirelessly to victimize the law-abiding. Isn't the first thing that needs to change is about 49 of the 50 aldermen, or as I call them, 50 thieves, to be thrown out on their ass and maybe elect some decent, honest people?
I think that would help. I think we need to take a good, hard look, you know, at who is stepping up to try and create a better environment for policing. There might be close to 10 Chicago aldermen who have shown signs of really caring about the horrible atmosphere that we have created for police to do their job in the city of Chicago. But I should hasten to add, Sean, it's not just the aldermen. It's also what happens in our Cook County criminal court system. And you're all too familiar with it. So are your listeners. Time after time, guys who, you know, had a third chance and a fourth and a fifth chance, they get a sixth chance. And they're on probation or out on low cash or no cash bail before trial for another bad thing they did. And they go and do something really, really rotten, kill somebody, you know, while commissioning a robbery or a carjacking. And, you know, if you collect those stories, there's just way too many of them. So I think we need to shine a greater light on what goes on in our Cook County criminal courts. We need actual judicial transparency in the courts, and we need like all of the outcomes available online by courtroom so we can see which judge is doing what and which prosecutor.
That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Now, there are barriers. There are laws that get in the way right now. There are exemptions to the State Freedom of Information Act. I'm digging into this right now in a piece that we'll be running soon, I think, at WirePoints, and who knows?
WirePoints.org is a fantastic, fantastic site, and I am so glad you are there. I mean, they are fearless, and they are essential. But we are living in a climate in this country when truth and a non-state-approved opinion, and I don't just mean state of Illinois, I mean state of a government that openly propagandizes and censors any other information, is at a high point in this country I thought I'd never see in this country. Are you at all concerned with WirePoints being censored, being attacked by the bureaucracies of what is clearly a collectivist government that has an agenda to sell and to protect? They can't afford to have resistance to their lies, can they?
I take your point, Sean. It is a concern, and we've seen what the large tech platforms can do. In fact, that's something that some other members of our crack team are going to be getting into much more deeply. Big tech is even trying to influence our elections process by funding the rigging of the rules at the state level. And one of the largest groups that's involved in that happens to be headquartered in Chicago and funded by a fellow you may have heard of, with the last name of Zuckerberg. But I will say right now that as far as WirePoints, you know, and us fearing censorship. No, I can't say we have that fear right now. And part of it is we start with data, unassailable data from the public record, from Joe Biden's Bureau of Justice Statistics, at least it's his right now, and right on down the line, the Energy Information Administration. You just go to the data, and boy, you're going to see stuff. So we start from there, and then, yes, we bring in a perspective that some people will agree with and some may not, but it starts with the data, and that's what we're all about. And we feel that, you know, more of that approach is necessary. And if more people thought that way in the media, then when politicians throw around the term like mass incarceration, or our prosecutor Kim Fox's version of that phrase lately, over incarceration, you know, if they had the data, they would challenge that, and they would allow for the liberal argument, for example, of counting those on probation and parole. They would even allow for the number being higher still in certain low-income black communities. But then somebody, like we do, would bring the issue back to personal accountability and choices. And, Sean, as you know, I have the advantage of having grown up on the south side of Chicago, surrounded by people of all races, and the advantage of having gone back there in the explosive year of 2020 and talking to people, black people and Latinos, as well as white folks and Asians, and hearing what they had to say about personal accountability, about the need for more police, the need for solid parenting, solid families, and even religious faith. And I'm here to tell you, people are not making excuses down there. You don't hear people in the community talk about mass incarceration, except for maybe a couple of, you know, race hustlers running nonprofit organizations trying to get grants from George Soros, right? So people have their heads screwed on straight in the hood, in the media and in, you know, the halls of elite governance, not so much.
You know, Matt, we're lucky. We are. We're older. We were raised in Democrat areas. But back then, those Democrats, those people with names like mine and yours and names that were maybe attached to minorities, would never have accepted the year 2022's idea of propaganda and censorship. So I'm hopeful that we can get back to that because of people like you that are fighting it. And I want to tell you how happy I am, Matt Rosenberg, that you are now at wirepoints.org. I look forward to all of your works. You know you have an open door here. I love you. I love having you come on and speak truth to power. Thank you very much, Matt, for joining me.
It was my pleasure, Sean. Thank you very much.
We'll be back with your calls and comments after this.